Winter Sea, written by Susanna Kearsley and read by Rosalind Lander.
Come home. The year has left you old. Leave those gray stones. Wrap close this shawl around you, for the night is cold. Come home. He will not hear you call. No sign awaits you here but the beat of tides upon the strand, the crag's gaunt shadow with gull's feet imprinted on the sand, and spars and seaweed strewn under a pale moon. Come home. He will not hear you call. Only the night winds answer as they fall along the shore, and evermore only the seashells on the grey stone singing, and the white foam bells of the North Sea ringing. E.J. Pratt, On the Shore. Chapter 1. It wasn't chance. There wasn't any part of it that happened just by chance. I learned this later, though the realization, when it came, was hard for me to grasp, because I'd always had a firm belief in self-determination. My life so far had seemed to bear this out. I'd chosen certain paths, and they had led to certain ends, all good, and any minor bumps that I had met along the way I could accept as not bad luck, but simply products of my own imperfect judgment. If I'd had to choose a creed, it would have been the poet William Henley's bravely ringing lines, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." So on that winter morning when it all began, when I first took my rental car and headed north from Aberdeen, it never once occurred to me that someone else's hand was at the helm. I honestly believed it was my own decision, turning off the main road for the smaller one that ran along the coastline. Not the wisest of decisions, maybe, seeing as the roads were edged with what I'd been assured was Scotland's deepest snow in 40 years, and I'd been warned I might run into drifting and delays. Caution, and the knowledge I was running on a schedule, should have kept me to the more well-travelled highway, but the small sign that said, "Coastal Route," diverted me. My father always told me that the sea was in my blood. I had been born and raised beside it on the shores of Nova Scotia, and I never could resist its siren pull. So when the main road out of Aberdeen turned inland, I turned right instead, and took the way along the coast. I couldn't say how far away I was when I first saw the ruined castle on the cliffs, a line of jagged darkness set against a cloud-filled sky. But from the moment I first saw it, I was captivated, driving slightly faster in the hope I'd reach it sooner, paying no attention to the clustered houses I was driving past, and feeling disappointment when the road curved sharply off again, away from it. But then, beyond the tangle of a wood, the road curved back again, and there it was, a long, dark ruin, sharp against the snowbound fields that stretched forbiddingly between the cliff's edge and the road. I saw a parking lot ahead, a little level place with logs to mark the spaces for the cars, and on an impulse, I pulled in and stopped. The lot was empty, not surprising since it wasn't even noon yet, and the day was cold and windy, and there wasn't any reason anyone would stop out here unless they wanted to walk out to see the ruin. And from looking at the only path that I could see that led to it, a frozen farm lane drifted deep with snow that would have risen past my knees, I guess there wouldn't be too many people stopping here today. I knew I shouldn't stop myself. There wasn't time. I had to be in Peterhead by 1 o'clock. But something in me felt a sudden need to know exactly where I was, and so I reached to check my map. I'd spent the past 5 months in France. I'd bought my map there, and it had its limitations, being more concerned with roads and highways than with towns and ruins. I was looking so hard at the squiggle of coastline and trying to make out the names in fine print that I didn't see the man till he'd gone past me, walking slowly, hands in pockets, with a muddy-footed spaniel at his heels. It seemed a strange place for a man on foot to be, out here. The road was busy, and the snow along the banks left little room to walk beside it, but I didn't question his appearance,